I used the pronoun there, and who is that referring to? It's referring to all the people that have gone ahead of us in the faith. You know, a lot of times we think we've got it together, we're the new generation of Christians, and you know, we have all of the know-how, and sometimes we don't appreciate properly what others have done ahead of us that have got us where we're at. I think Hebrews chapter 11 does a really good job of making us think about that. And so we're in that chapter 11 still, verses 30 through 40. We're going to group them up today and just read over that whole area. But I want us to remember before we read these verses how really blessed we are to live in the time that we are in. I know, you know, I hear contemporary news reports, and how many of you guys get sick of hearing all the bad news? There's a lot of bad news out there, and I tell you, you know, news outlets really, you know, they really kind of thrive on that. It helps to get them ratings. It helps to make them, you know, extra finances and resources, and it even helps them to have influence if they focus on the bad, and they keep you looking at the bad. And it's true. There's a lot of bad things that happen. We live in a sinful world, but oftentimes we forget how really blessed we are. You know, God, you're not just a happenstance. You don't just live in this time in history by chance. In fact, it is God who appointed the times and the places where every person would live. He says that in the book of Acts through Paul. And so I want you to know it is by God's divine purpose that you live in this time of history and in this place. And so I praise God for what God has done. We are a blessed people. And that first slide there, beyond the title slide, I want us to think about how blessed we are. You see, a lot of these people that we're reading about in the book of Hebrews, they didn't have half of the information that we have. They were looking forward to a Messiah who would come, but I want you to know we live in a time when Jesus already has come. History speaks of Jesus. I'm talking even secular history speaks of Jesus. You know, the way that we keep our time, the years. Do you know what B.C. and A.D. refer to? Before Christ and in the year of our Lord, Anno Domini. And it's a Latin term meaning in the year of our Lord. We live in the years of our Lord. Praise the Lord, amen. We're a blessed people. You know, they were looking forward, hoping for Messiah. We can look back and see. We can see as he came, as he ministered, as he did miracles, as he proved who he was in so many different infallible ways. We see that there's still an empty tomb. Amen? He died on the cross. But he was laid in that tomb, but it was only a borrowed tomb because it was only going to need to be borrowed for 3 days. Praise God. We are blessed people. We have copies of the complete Bible. The complete Bible. You know, the devil's always trying to say this may not be complete. I'm telling you, this is what we need. This is all we need, and we have it. How many copies do you avail yourself to in your house? We have it in abundance. Praise God. We have the Holy Spirit who lives in every believer. Come on, we need to celebrate that one a little bit more. We have the Holy Spirit that lives in every believer. Woo, we are blessed people. We don't have to do this ourselves. Praise God. You see, we not only have copies of the complete Bible, but we have the one who inspired it living in us to help us understand it. Praise the Lord. We have got it going on. We have got a witness, the witness of the saints who went before us, the examples of their lives. Man. You know, whenever I first read through the scripture as a new Christian, I was reading through the Gospels and I was thinking, man, it would have been so awesome to be one of the disciples You could have been with Jesus. You could have walked with Jesus. You could have lived right there with him. You could have seen him do the things he was doing. You could have also been in the crosshairs of the target you were the target of the persecution. You could also been the ones who didn't really have a New Testament to go by. In fact, God was developing it through you. Lots of questions. Yeah. You know what? I think we actually have a better position today. We are blessed people. So what did these others go through so that we could have what we have? I want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to talk about some of those Old Testament saints. We're going to back up just a little bit from where we were. We're going to start at verse 30, and we're going to read through the end of the chapter. If you could stand for the reading of God's word this morning, that would be good. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Guys, we can rest assured this in fact happened. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. You can believe that, folks. It happened. She is in the genealogy of Jesus today. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turning to fight the armies of the aliens. That doesn't mean aliens from outer space, by the way. Those are people who didn't belong in the country. In verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, and that they might obtain a better resurrection. You hear that? That's what we're looking for, a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Let's pray. Dear God, as I read this area of Scripture this week, it just overcame me with thankfulness. God, I am so thankful for these brothers and sisters who stood their ground through hard trials. Lord, they had it coming from every side. Sometimes we feel the same. Lord, what I know is just like they were faithful, it inspires me to want to finish well. God, help me finish well. That is my one prayer in life, is that I not get all the way close to the finish line and then blow it. God, I want to finish well. Help me to be a good testimony for those who come after me as they were for us. Lord, we want to thank you. The world was not worthy of them, and quite honestly, Lord, I'm not worthy of their faith. But I just want to thank you. You didn't do it because we were worthy. You did it because you're worthy. You are worthy, Jesus. I pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. All right, y'all have a seat as we think about this and break this down. I just want us to remember, man, we benefit from their faith and their mistakes too. Last week, I told you of one, you know, that one of those large errors that we could just so obviously see in one man's life, and even talked about some of the others. You had Gideon and Barak and Samson, and we can see all their failings pretty easily. Jephthah, David, and even Samuel. Samuel wasn't much spoken of his failings so much, but you know, he didn't do real good raising his children. He did a really good job as a judge of Israel and as a prophet. He followed God, Let's jump forward a couple slides there. But I just want us to remember that we benefit from their faith and their mistakes. You know, their mistakes were clearly shown in Scripture. Did you notice God didn't hide them? Do you notice he didn't condemn David, but he did tell of his mistakes? I think it's really, really awesome to see that. It's really important for me to be able to get my mind wrapped around that, that God didn't sugarcoat it. It's one of the things that makes me know this Bible is accurate, because, guys, if I was trying to make a document up and just make it make, you know, God and his people look really good, I wouldn't have told of any of the mistakes. Or if I did, I would have tried to make it, you know, make excuses for them or something. God don't make excuses for it. He also don't condone it. He just says, here it is. But I'm going to tell you, this one was mine. And so I kept putting him back where he needed to be. And then at the end of the scriptures, right here in the New Testament in Hebrews, he lifts them up and says, look at their faith. Because their faith was in me, and that's why they finished. Don't you want to see yourself that way? I'm a person of faith, and I'm really trying to get it together, and I'm really trying to follow God. But here's my hope. It's not in me. It's in him. Because just like he helped those imperfect people finish, he's going to help me finish. And so I learned from their mistakes. The first time I read about David, and I got to the part where he cheated on his wives, we see two major mistakes there. First, the multiple wives, and then he's cheating on them, and he's cheating against this great, mighty man that's listed among all of his great warriors there, Uriah. And he takes Uriah's wife and takes her to himself, and then he knows it's going to be found out because she's pregnant. He tries to hide it. I'm going to tell you, in my self-righteous being, as I read that story the first time, I was like, how dare him? He's a terrible man. How can this be my hero anymore? It wasn't about me anyways. Foolish me. And I've seen myself fall so many times since then, I know I am capable of the same. Even if I haven't done it, it ain't because I haven't thought it. God just hasn't given me opportunity. Praise God, he's a good God. But for David, David stepped outside of his grace and he fell greatly. It harmed a lot of people. But you know what? Without that moment, I wouldn't have Psalm 50, or 51, sorry, where we see this great repentance. We get so much wonderful theology because of his mistake. And so let's learn from their mistakes. And let's try not to make the same ones. Amen? We have them as an example. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 11 through 12, makes it clear to us. Now, all these things happened to them, those who went before us, as an example. As examples that... And they were written for our admonition, to admonish us, to teach us, to encourage us, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. And if you read the very next verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, somebody open, are you open to that area of Scripture? You want to read verse 13 for me? Nice and loud. He'll give you the way out, guys. You know why we see their mistakes? Because God's truthful, and he shows my grace is still sufficient, but he also wants us to learn from him so we don't go down the same road and we can know God will actually help us. He will help us to be able to avoid some of those pitfalls. In fact, all of these things were examples to us. Praise God. You know, we want to remember and not look down on those Old Testament saints. We want to remember that we stand where we do because we stand on their shoulders. I want to tell you a little story. It's kind of an interesting story. Please follow with me on the slides. Next one. All right, so we stand on their shoulders. I want to tell you a little story. So there were some Bedouins out in the middle of the desert looking for places to put their tents. And I don't know if you guys have seen pictures of the desert. How many of you have seen pictures of the desert? What does it look like to you? Barren. What's the only thing that you got to build on, basically, out there? Sand. Is sand a very good foundation? It's horrible. You know, that's why they got the big dunes, because whenever the wind blows, it just blows it where it wishes, and there's where it deposits it. And so you've got this whole situation where you got these Bedouins that are looking for a good place to plant their tents, and they're thinking, man, you know, all those people back in the old days, they were really, you know, they were really not very smart, and, you know, that's kind of how we are in contemporary life. We think that everybody from antiquity were just dummies, right? That's the way that we get taught. Like cavemen or something. But in reality, you know, the ancient people were really smart. They had developed some pretty heavy-duty cultures, you know. They had a lot of ingenuity. In fact, you know, we're kind of being filled with a wrong idea. And that's what makes us look back at those in the early part of the Bible and maybe look down on them and think that they weren't quite as smart as us. We got it together now. And that's why the church keeps looking more and more like the world oftentimes, because they're trying to be contemporary and be better than the people who came along. In fact, some churches are trying to be nicer than Jesus these days, and that's a bad idea. Jesus' kindness is as good as it can get. So let's just be like Jesus. Amen? But back to the Bedouins. So they're looking for a good, solid place to put their tents, and there's nothing but sand. And then all of a sudden, one of them was digging down, and he found something kind of solid underneath him. It seemed to be pretty flat. He thought, oh, man, this would be a good place for me to set my tent. So next thing you know, they decide to put up another tent, and they kind of dig around a little ways over here and didn't know what they were putting on. They were thinking, man, we are getting really advanced. This is really awesome. We're getting like solid foundations for our tents. We finally have graduated to the next level. You know what? Well, later on, they came along and started digging up that area as they heard about these solid areas. Turned out those were the tops of like 30-foot columns from another civilization that had been before. This huge city was underneath them, and they had no clue that had this great architecture and all this great ingenuity. And here we think the people before us must have been kind of stupid. They must have been kind of substandard in their understanding. We've got all this great knowledge now. Guys, let that not be like us. Let us not be like that. We need to look at the people who came before us. They have a great example to give us. They stood through the test of time. They stood through the test of great persecutions. And you know what? They stood strong. And I love when we think about that we're standing on their shoulders. Hebrews 11, verses 39 through 40 that we just read, just reviewing those last two verses. And all these having obtained a good testimony through faith. They didn't do it through their flesh. They did it through faith. They have a good testimony. And be honest with you, many of them died, and that's all they had, was a good testimony. Because they didn't receive the promise in their lifetime. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. See, the whole time, guys, their vision was on handing it down. You know, Abraham was given the promise that he was going to have descendants more numerous than the stars, if he could count them. Even the sand of the seashore. Can you count the sand of the seashore? Ain't going to happen. How many children of the promise did he have when he left? Isaac was the one of the promise that it was going to be carried out through. He had other children, and I'm not downplaying that, but they sure weren't as many as the stars of the sky, and unfortunately, they weren't really of faith, many of them either. In fact, they opposed the people of God later, some of them. And some of them are still opposing the people of God today. So here's what I want to tell you. You can't look at right now to figure out if you're really doing the right thing. What you need to be doing is looking to Jesus appreciating what he's done to give us what we have, appreciating what those others have done, and don't just let us be only be thankful either. Last slide. But consider what we hand down to the future generations. When you got to make a choice on how you're going to respond to a teaching that you have before you of God, don't just look at you. Don't just look at right now. I want you to look at your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, whoever's great-grandchildren that are around you, whoever might be the next generation of the church, and the next generation of the church, because we don't know when Jesus is coming back. And let us make sure that we hand down the right example to those who are going to pick up the baton and carry on. I think it's so important for us to understand that. And that's, I'm just going to look at Ephesians chapter 6. It's about immediate family, but I want us to understand it's about something even bigger than that. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for that this is right. You know why children should obey their parents? Not just because they want to, or not just because they agree with their parents, but because they're supposed to, because it's right. You know, parents, whenever, you know, we want to make sure we get our commands right within the home. You want to make sure that your direction is correct, because you see, God's told your children to obey you. Do you want them to obey you and do what's wrong? You see, it really raises the stakes for the parent to make sure we get it right. Don't be arbitrary about this, because God's word says we should teach them how to obey. Not just for us. This ain't about me. It's about them. It says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And now listen to what it says next. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Don't you be disciplining them just going ahead and trying to push them over the edge and make them angry. Don't be playing games with them is what it's saying. You need to teach them and train them for this next part, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. They're not just yours. They're His first. We're doing it for Him. And even if our children are grown up, we're still being an example to the future generations so that we can pass this faith down. Whenever I read Hebrews chapter 11, verses 30 through 40, it encourages me to make sure I finish well. And I'm going to encourage you, finish well. Get your life right with the Lord. And finish well. It starts by you repenting of your sin and giving your heart to Jesus. Then once you've received the Holy Spirit, you're going to have what you need to start taking on some of those issues in your life that God has already started to put His finger on and you're feeling guilty about, and you're thinking, I can't come until I get this straightened out. No, you come and He'll help you get it straightened out. That's how it works. You need the Holy Spirit living in you. And as He's living in you, you're going to have the power that you're going to need to be able to overcome that temptation, just like 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says. And then it's going to be just like verses 11 through 12 in 1 Corinthians 10 say, just like the ones before us. And let's live it out. Let's finish well. Let's do it, not just for us. I'm already headed for heaven. I got that because I have Jesus. What about all those who are coming after me? Oh, I want to live a life that draws them to Jesus. It's caught more than it's taught. They're looking to see how are we living. And I want them to want it. So let's live it. No matter what happens, no matter whether we get to see the promise in our lifetime or not, let's do it. Let's finish well. Dear Father, help us to finish well. Help us to finish as real believers in Christ that are living out our faith. I want this to make a difference, not just for my life, not just for my testimony, but for the testimony that's handed down to future generations. In Jesus' name, amen.